The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Coalition leaders met last night to sign off on the government's emergency fuel supports to combat the rising cost faced by Irish consumers. To talk about the details of the package and what it all means, I'm joined now by political correspondent with the Irish Independent, Conal Thomas. President of the Irish Road Haulage Association, Ger Hyland, is with me here in the studio. And on the line, we're joined by the CEO of Fuels for Ireland, Kevin McPartlin. You're all welcome to the show. Conal, let's get the lay of the land first. There's a lot of reporting around what's coming. So take us through what's in the package.
So this is, I suppose, a suite of measures that the government has mooted over the last sort of fortnight. We've a lot more clarity on what's going to be approved by Cabinet this morning. First thing, I suppose, effective from midnight today following a Dáil resolution is excise duty on petrol be cut by 15 cent, 20 cent on diesel. That'll drop prices at the pump from tomorrow is the expectation. The National Oil Reserve Agency levy, otherwise known as NORA, will be suspended effectively. Now, the government did this back in 2022, or planned to, in Ukraine. And that'll cut about another 2 cents off the
price. Off each,
exactly. Separate to that, now I should say that will require primary legislation, so that's not going to be as immediate as the cuts in petrol.
The NORA, the two cent.
There'll also be the existing rebate scheme for hauliers and bus operators. It's going to be increased from 7.5 cents, my understanding, to 12 cents. And that will be backdated then to January and will remain at 12 cents for a further 3 months after that. Mm-hmm. And then the fuel allowance, about 470,000 people, the fuel allowance season effectively is going to be extended. It was due to end on April 3rd. It's now going to be extended into May. So that's about 4 weeks. The total cost of this package is about 235 million. Just for a reference point, the government did some similar moves back in March, April after Russia invaded Ukraine. The total cost of that package was about 310 million euro. And then when things were extended, bits of it added another 90 million euro. As I said, the excise, I should say, as well, petrol, diesel, the cut till the end of May.
Okay, but we don't know what's going to happen. Nobody does. So there is a possibility that this might all be extended beyond May. This is the initial package, yeah, isn't it? So, Ger, who's sitting here listening to all of that, probably well aware of what's coming. Ger, you were involved, I know, in negotiations on this front. Are you happy with what the hauliers are getting?
Well, look, we certainly would have liked to get more of a share of this, but we are where we are. We're going to get help of 22 cents on our duty. Mm-hmm. We are going to get an increase in our diesel rebate, which all of this is very welcome. But I suppose, more importantly, we're still at the table. We're still talking to the Minister for Transport. We're still talking to the government.
Why, what more are you looking for?
If this escalates further than where it is, we will be back to the table. They have promised, they have made that commitment to us.
You haven't done too badly here. I mean, the 12-cent rebate, that's up from 7.5 cent, as Conal said. Then you have your 20 cent plus the NORA levy, another 22 on top of the 15. Then the rebate's going to be backdated, isn't it, to the start of all of this?
It's going to be backdated to January, yes. Uh-huh.
So you're not looking, am I right in saying you're not looking for more right now? It's more what happens if we get to May.
We're not looking for more now. It's more what happens between now and May. But I would also like to say that while we've made significant progress, our members today are paying 50 cent a litre more for fuel than they were paying 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. So you're still going to have to, although the government did make it very clear, and ministers over the weekend saying that they can't mitigate against the entire impact of this war.
Absolutely, and that's why...
Do you accept that?
I absolutely accept that, but that's why I'm saying here this morning that there is still a shortfall. Our members are going to have to go back to their customers and they're going to have to renegotiate rates and all that. But that's between our members and our customers. We're talking here this morning about the government support, and we have to be thankful for the share that we've got of this.
Okay, so I think what we're hearing there, Conal, is that the government will be dealing with a consumer who will still have increased prices, because if the hauliers are going back to their customers saying that the prices are going to go up regardless of this government intervention, ultimately we're going to pay the price for that.
Yeah, I think the aim here is ultimately to drop it somewhat back down to what it was before the crisis. And look, the question in all of this, it's interesting the government's language on this. You know, there's two things I think that have changed a little bit in the last week, notwithstanding obviously the de-escalation, then escalation, then de-escalation again of the war, which we might go on to in a minute. But the government was saying that this might be initially for 3-4 weeks. Many of these measures are now being extended to the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, we were told, I think we were talking about this, was it only last week or the week before, that the government didn't want a package running into the hundreds of millions of euros. And yet we're looking now at 235 million euros. As I laid out before, if those have to be extended, that could be well over 300 million euro. Now, in all of this, what time of the year are we looking at now? We're heading into late March. This goes out to the end of May. We're heading into the summer months and this takes the heat off. That's the government's aim. But we've only seen in the last 24 hours, as the government were going in to make this package, Donald Trump come out and say, we've had initial talks with the Iranian side. And then the stock market jumped, oil prices fell. And within hours, the Iranian side had completely rebuked that.
Yeah.
And they went back again.
Yes. And so we are still in a state of flux and oil went over $100 a barrel. Oh, home heating oil, Conor, what are we hearing on that front?
Huge amount, in all honesty. The fuel allowance will be extended, and obviously the diesel and petrol. I mean, it's still at about 181 euro on average. Home heating oil would have peaked, I think, around last week at 900, but that's about it, really.
Mm-hmm. All right, so not much there. Well, let's go to Kevin McPartlin, who joins us on the line now, CEO of Fuels for Ireland. We have people getting in touch today, Kevin, as they were yesterday, saying that petrol stations have upped their prices even more to offset the savings for customers. Are you hearing that?
Well, let's be clear. Those two things are not automatically connected. Petrol stations have increased the prices more because the wholesale prices have gone up. So that's the reason why petrol stations have increased their prices. But it's important to look at data rather than anecdotes. I keep using this line. If up until yesterday, on the wholesale markets, the price of petrol has gone up 31 cent per litre since the 1st of March, and diesel has gone up 63.5 cent. What has actually been passed on to consumers in Ireland is a 25.5 cent increase on petrol and a 55 cent increase on diesel. So that means that the fuel companies have actually carried 5.5 cent of the wholesale increase that they've faced on petrol and 8.5 cent on diesel. So, you know, prices have gone up, but that's not because people are trying to get ahead of any legislative measure.
Yeah.
It's because the wholesale prices have gone up.
Motorists will expect, though, to see the cuts that are being, we expect, announced from midnight tonight, immediately, as in tomorrow morning at the pumps. Will they see it?
They will see it in some. As we've been telling people since this whole crisis emerged, the prices change on the basis of when deliveries come in. Okay, now anything which is on a forecourt at midnight tonight has the excise duty has already been paid, so that has to wash through the system. Now, in some stations, as we've talked about before, when prices were really increasing, we said that happens within hours because some stations will have many deliveries a day, but you will have some stations that get deliveries every couple of days, and in a very small number of cases, even less frequently, it might be a week. So we need to be realistic and say that it's essentially tanker trucks that leave terminals from midnight tonight will have the fuel that is at the reduced excise rate, and not every garage is going to get their delivery by breakfast time tomorrow morning.
But you would expect, Kevin, at the bigger garages, the bigger forecourts, which I know are very popular. That's where most people, I think, it's fair to say, in the market will buy their fuel. You would expect the reduced prices to be seen there pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. You certainly will see them all wash through within a day or two.
Okay.
In those very large sites. But you just need to be aware, if you're talking about a small site that's kind of rural and low volumes or whatever, they may have up to a week's storage. So they may have got a delivery today and may not get another one until this day next week. But in the main, and we need to talk about the volumes, there will be some outlying service stations, but the majority of the volume of fuel sold in Ireland will see that wash through within the next sort of, well, sorry, not the next, but within a day or two of the excise duty cut having come into place.
Okay, so do you, in general terms, welcome what is set to be announced by the government today? Do you think it will address the problem, that it will take the heat out of this?
Look, I think it's to be welcomed. I have to say I'm a bit underwhelmed from the home heating oil side when you have people who are experiencing essentially a doubling of their bill. I think the government is relying on the fact that coming into the summer months, there's much less demand for it, and that people who were kind of spooked by rising prices made a purchase already. So I think that's a little bit underwhelming, but maybe as this is a temporary measure, if we do get, if this does need to be extended, if we get later on into the year, we get back into colder weather, they may have to do something different. But look, it's in line with expectations. It doesn't take all of the pain out. As I said, you know, we're looking at a 55 cent a litre increase on diesel. So giving 22 cent back still means that people are paying an awful lot for their fuel. And let's be honest, the government is still making more money on VAT than they would have done otherwise.
And tell me, can you explain to me?
It's not really the case.
Why? Sorry. And listeners want to know this as well, Kevin. Why diesel has increased by that 55 cent and petrol has gone up only by half of that?
Well, I was about to say it's an interesting point, but it's maybe only interesting to geeks like me. It really comes down to how the global refining system works. So in Western Europe, the refining system was developed at a time when the focus was on producing the maximum amount of petrol that you can. Because when you refine, you create petrol, diesel and kerosene. When Eastern Europe was developing theirs, it was a time when there was a far greater emphasis on diesel. But in the Middle East, their emphasis has always been on aviation fuel, kerosene. We're the only European member state that uses kerosene for heating. So the impact on kerosene has been the most severe because you have about a third of all of the kerosene that comes into the European Union has to go through the Strait of Hormuz. And clearly that isn't happening right now. So people have had to make other arrangements. Mm-hmm. About 5% of all of the diesel that we use in the European Union comes through the Strait of Hormuz. But that's then compounded by the fact that we have the sanctions against Russia, where we used to get about a third of our diesel from, and petrol is much easier. We have a higher capacity for producing that in Europe. So that's why the three different types of fuel are affected differently.
Okay, now I'm still getting so many messages in from people who say the oil price tanked yesterday after Donald Trump made that announcement about talks, but the petrol prices at the pump actually went up in some cases. Another one says the price of oil per barrel dropped yesterday. Can you explain why we're not seeing a reduction? Because we saw the increase in minutes. And I know you will say that whatever is there has to be sold at the price that was paid for it by the retailer. But when
what
it happens,
I also say, Claire, is but when we it don't happens, sell crude oil.
But on the other side, when the price goes up, people will say it goes up immediately at the pumps. They don't understand that.
It doesn't. Okay. So the crude oil price is just one of the inputs into the pump price that we pay in Ireland. And the other things are then the cost of refining and the cost of shipping and all those sorts of things. So we have said all along that the best indicator is wholesale prices for petrol, diesel and kerosene. And they're published every evening. You can go online, you can find the Platts ARA quoted commodity prices. That's what indicates the price of pumps, yeah. Price at pumps in Ireland. The crude oil that was sold yesterday hasn't been refined. It will take about 2 to 3 weeks to get through the system. So, and also it's worth saying that the barrel price also went up after the Iranians said that Donald Trump wasn't correct in saying that there'd been these fruitful talks. So looking at the crude oil price is not a good indicator. Look, if you want to have an indicator where fuel prices are going in Ireland, look at the commodity prices on Platts ARA.
Okay. Ger, how do you, I get messages about every time we talk about fuel, people say, you know that line, the prices go up like a rocket and down like a feather. What's your take on it?
That's exactly the way our members are talking. That when this crisis started, we saw the prices starting to go up immediately. We saw in the Ukrainian crisis that the prices took so long to come back down. And we really have no answer for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you accept what Kevin is saying? His explanation around this.
Well,
there's no point looking at the crude oil price. It's the refined price. It's the commodity price.
Yeah, we're talking about the cost of shipping there a minute ago. Whether it's kerosene, diesel, or petrol, you still have the same cost of shipping.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't. It's hard to accept why there's such a variation and such a difference in these prices.
Okay, because, you know, Kevin, people will say, and they're saying it to me here on my screen, the war was only hours old when the prices went up at the pumps.
Yeah. I'm not denying this. What I'm saying to you is that the commodity prices that are sold on wholesale markets react instantly. I mean, literally instantly, as did the demand for products. So when the first missiles hit Iran, you had online ordering systems for home heating oil in particular absolutely go through the roof. In the week after the first attacks on Iran, home heating oil orders went up 50% on an average week, and petrol and diesel went up.
And I understand that. I've had this conversation with you, Kevin. I get it. You know, if you order something and you are a retailer and you have to pay the wholesaler a higher price for it, I get that you would then have to pass that on. But if you've already paid for the product and it's there on your forecourt or in your tank.
But you haven't and it isn't. Okay,
so that's a different scenario. I'm saying if it is there, if it is in the tank, it's on your forecourt, it's in your tank, and the price goes up because a missile has hit Iran, that is profiteering. Mm-hmm. That's raising the price for no other reason other than a headline.
Well, I don't think that's what actually has happened. So you, again, if we go back to the start of the
conversation, our listeners feel like you're gaslighting them. That, I mean, every day when we discuss this, the messages come in all of the time that the minute there is a headline, the prices will fluctuate on the forecourt. That's what they're telling us.
Okay, we can deal in anecdotes or we can deal in data. And the data demonstrates that the prices that we charge in Ireland at retail level absolutely map the commodity prices. And that's not my point of view. It was presented by the National Oil Reserves Agency at a meeting of government agencies there a week ago. That is a simple truth. Now, just as I said at the start of the conversation, that some garages will see the impact of the excise duty within a couple of hours, and some may wait a couple of days. That is what happened when the prices were increasing in the immediate aftermath of the first attack on Iran. Some garages went up very quickly because they had orders that were coming in at that point in time. The same happened with home heating oil depots, and some were slower. In fact, the Tornister actually complained about the fact that two garages that he had seen that were close to one another had wildly different prices. That's for that very reason.
You know, so because their deliveries are coming at different times and they're buying at different times is what you're saying. But I mean, Ger is here, and I accept Ger's expert opinion on this. From the other side, he's representing the road hauliers. They say that they're seeing it go up very, very quickly and not coming down when prices that the retailers are paying the wholesalers change.
But when have prices come down since this began? They've consistently gone up.
Ger, you shouldn't expect the prices to come down because they haven't come down. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with it, yes. But what I will say is that when this crisis happened, as an island, we're supposed to have 90 days fuel supply on the island at all times. There would have been a lot of fuel in the central fuel depots in Dublin, Fines, wherever our fuel is stored. And we saw
We need to be really clear. The 90 days is the strategic stock which is held by the state. That's not commercial stock. We don't have that. We can't access that without an order from the minister for the National Oil Reserves Agency to release that stock.
So that's not available to us, Ger.
Yeah, but
no,
still we're
it's a red herring.
We're paying on an ongoing basis 2 cents a litre for to mine that stock.
That's the Nora levy.
Yes.
That's gone now.
Only for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. Only for a couple of months. But what I need to say here as well this morning, we welcome any support we get from the government. But I also want to point out here that the tax take that the government has got in since the start of the crisis here is phenomenal.
Far beyond the probably 235 million that this is going to cost. Conal, where do you expect the argument to be later on in Leinster House? I mean, home heating oil seems to me like an obvious flashpoint.
It does. I think you've already had a quick reaction from the opposition party. Sinn Féin have said this does not go far enough. That's not surprising. Labour have described the package as timid and anemic. And the Social Democrats, as you say, they've hit out at the lack of support around home heating oil. I do think there's three questions, though, for the government in this, the minutiae of fuel deliveries and oil prices aside. One, there's the fiscal space we're now in of how far they may need to go if they have to extend these measures, particularly as we approach the budget. Secondly, there's the return of the green agenda, and I think they're going to be haunted a little bit by their previous criticism of their private coalition colleagues. The Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, out there yesterday saying he'd asked Dara O'Brien to accelerate decarbonisation efforts, and you're kind of there, lads, you've been in government for 6 years. And thirdly, what does it look like come October in the budget? We're heading into another winter. Are we looking at the return of energy credits if this keeps up?
Well, perhaps, but, you know, that was that this government was so dead set against that in the last budget, yep. But I suppose circumstances, right?
It's tried to wean the public off being effectively addicted to them, and now we have €235 million emergency package.
Okay, well, listen, we will leave that one there. George, you want to come back in?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I would urge the government again here this morning, before they bring this legislation to the Dáil today, to have a look at our diesel rebate scheme. We're one of the most important, if not the most important, sectors here on the island. We deliver everything that's delivered on this island. We export everything that goes off of this island. And we really need support here at the government.
Well, what's wrong with the rebate system?
The rebate system, this government today could push that rebate system to 20 cents a litre. For a sector that is so dependent on fuel.
Right, so you've gone from 7.5 to 12, but you want it to 20.
If we could get it to 20. As I said to you, our members are using 36 litres of diesel.
Yeah, but Piers Doherty explained to us yesterday, the more that rebate goes up for hauliers, the less they can give everybody else paying for diesel as a commercial, as a consumer, regular consumer.
Well, I'm just after pointing out there the tax take that the government alone has got since this crisis.
Mm-hmm. But they can't do both. There has to be a balance between the two, right?
Yes, but we are so dependent on fuel. Like, diesel is the fuel of commerce here in this country. Our members are paying over 50 cents. Okay, the general public are paying it, but they have a choice whether they use fuel or not.
No,
we don't have a choice.
No, a lot of people don't, you know, and you'll know this coming from where I do. You know, you don't have the public transport in many places. You've got to get into your car.
Well, absolutely, but the level of fuel that we're using, a lot of our members are working on a 3 to 5% mm-hmm. margin.
See, this is where this gets really tricky. You know, if you're pitting the hauliers against the regular motorists, that's where that takes you if you're looking for a 20 cent rebate.
Well, I would say we're not pitting the haulier against the regular motorists, because when our members were talking about action, they were hoping that the General Motors was going to come and support them, which the feeling was that they were. We don't want to do anything here to discommode the General Motors, but we have to fight for our mm-hmm. members. We have to fight for the survival of the transport company country.
Conal, I don't know if you heard Piers Doherty making that point. The more you give the hauliers on the rebate, mm. the less you can do on the excise side.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do within the fiscal space what they want to do. Well, I'd be interested actually just to hear from Chair as well. Did you get everything out of that you asked Dara O'Brien for last week?
Well, look, we got a certain amount. We got our share. As I said to you here, we would like to see more on our diesel rebate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the next battle. Thank you all for being with us, Ger Hyland, Kevin McPartland joining us on the line, and Conal Thomas.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.